everyone. I'm Dr. Max, and welcome to the Her Story, Her Journey podcast, where we highlight the extra that's in every woman. I'm so glad you joined us today as we spotlight Pastor Rosemary Roth. Pastor Roth operates an outreach ministry locally here in Orlando called Alpha Point that serves not just the local Orlando community, but this woman of God makes several missionary trips to Jamaica every year to provide necessary services to people who wouldn't normally have those things. So she focuses on women. She focuses on people with disabilities. And so this amazing woman of God, we brought her on because we wanted to highlight her and the things that she does. But as always, I think all of my guests do a much better job at introducing themselves. So Pastor Rosemary, would you please introduce yourselves to our audience?
Thank you, Dr. Max. It's a pleasure to be here and to be with you. Gosh, you put a smile on my face to make me feel welcome in your presence and to feel like, you know, I have a story that I can share. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Who is Rosemary Roth? I'm a pastor. I was ordained 1994, January, to pastor church. Actually, a pastor is a servant, someone who is available to share Christ. And by sharing Christ, it means sharing the love of Christ, whether it's being there physically or sharing the word of encouragement during the time of bereavement, or during a celebration time of like a wedding or a baby dedication, or simply being the voice for the government, which is a legal voice, which is considered like a police officer, that I can give a voice of witness to say, yes, this is the way I witnessed it and this is the way it is. So I can sign off as a legal person for the government. So I serve in the position of an outreach pastor at Alpha Point. And the vision for Alpha Point is to be people with a vision to share Christ through the word, through outreach, and Christian entertainment.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I told you guys you would do a much better job of introducing yourself. And Pastor Rosemary, I know as a pastor, you have had to listen to the stories for many of the people that you've been shepherding. Again, as you said, you serve as a touch point for so many people in the community, not just community leaders and organizations, but for the individuals. And so here you are in the midst of doing that. And as a young pastor, and taking your services seriously, because guys, if you know this woman, she has a heart for service. And so one of the things that, you know, we tend to think is that if we're in that position, we're protected, right? Because we know so much, we're right, helping so much, and it kind of can make us think that we're inoculated from life's difficulties. But mm-hmm. what she is here to share today is when, as a pastor, she had to pull on the extra that's inside of her to survive and thrive when divorce showed up personally at her door. Pastor Rosemary, share your story with the audience.
All right. Well, the first part that I would concentrate on is, why did I name the ministry Alpha Point? In the Bible, in Revelation, the scripture says that I am the Alpha and the Omega. That's Jesus saying, I am the beginning, I'm the end. I started off and I can finish it. And I found myself at a place in my life where I was hungry, literally. I had small children. I had the responsibility of taking care of them, not enough childcare. So I had to give up my job, my college education, so to speak, at that time, to take care of two very small children. And finances dwindled. I became underemployed because I wasn't qualified to make the kind of income I needed to support myself, my children, and my husband wasn't able to carry the load. So basically, I found myself at a place in need. And I prayed to God. I asked God for help. And he says, don't you know I'm the Alpha? And I was annoyed. I know you are the Alpha. So what's the point? He says, that's the point. Each time we find ourselves at a place where we cannot do it on our own, we have to find a point where we stop, we evaluate, and says, this is where I am. how do I get from here to where I would like to be? So the name Alpha Point was derived at that point. So Alpha Point for me is never reach the place where you cannot manage your situation. I stop, even if it's the end of the day or the beginning of the day, I said, this is my Alpha Point. I can start over. So as, and it's not just saying that I couldn't function. There are things in my life, if I go back, my mom was murdered when she was 21. I was 6 and a half. And I was raised by many mothers. So there was a need to be nurtured. And here I was raising small kids and they needed me to nurture them. My husband at the time, and I played a role in my, how would I say, who I am right now, because he was Caucasian and I'm Black, and the two together creates an issue where I had to make an adjustment for the babies that we were having. So for me, I had to look, I adjusted myself to that relationship. Take care of families, whether they were Black, white, Hispanic, indifferent. I was right there, considering myself as a woman. But when the divorce came about, I literally did not have an identity. I didn't know who I was. And I couldn't financially support my family because I was feeling rejected. I felt that the support that I used to have with my husband, it was now gone. The person who I was depending on to say, help me with the children was no longer here. Even though they were teenagers, there was a big gap in my life. And again, I had to go back to the point of Alpha Point. Who am I? Where do I go from here?
So just so I can get, we all can get a better understanding. Mm-hmm. You're married. It's an interracial marriage. You've decided to make some adjustments, whatever you needed to do, because you were going to make sure that this marriage survived. You had young kids. There were some financial difficulties. You were still stewarding a church, but you thought, listen, with the Alpha Point, I'm a woman of faith. God's already shown me that no matter what shows up, I can always survive this. Tell us a little bit more about how the point to divorce came. How did that show up for you?
Well, it was stress on him because of the responsibility of carrying the load financially, and he wasn't able to manage it. It was too much, and I did not know how to help him because the kids needed me. Mm-hmm. And babysitting was, to pay a babysitter was more for two children than it was for me to stay home. All right, for me to go to work was more. I needed more money to pay someone to watch them, so I had to stay home.
So how did that contribute to hearing the word divorce, that dreaded D word for some people?
The word divorce, it's awful. It's worse than hearing death, because when you hear death, the person is gone. They're not coming back. When you hear divorce, they're moving out. They're packing their things. They're going through the door. They're borrowing your car or your van to help them to move their things. And you're trying to communicate to say, please don't go, stay. But then they also have a life to live. And my life is falling apart. I can't stop them. They have to want to be with me. That's what I was thinking at the time. So I had to let him go. I wasn't opening the door and kicking him out. I was like, you know, you have to do what you have to do, but I would rather if you stay.
Mm. Okay. And what was that like for you? Divorced?
Oh my God.
Young kids?
Tears, fear, anxiety, depression. I remember one of the mornings I woke up and I didn't know what to do. And I do remember calling you. And you said, Rosemary, get up, take a shower. I was in bed like for 4 days straight. I couldn't do anything. And you said, go and take a shower. Put on your prettiest dress. Fix your face up. You are still alive. You're not dead. I remember you telling me that. And I sure did. I pulled out my Sunday nice clothes and I got dressed. I got in the car. And even though I would have said, oh, I don't have any gas in the car, but we say we don't have. And by saying that, we believe it. But for that moment, I said, you know what? I have gas. I'm going to go. And I sure did. I moved. I got up. And I moved. And that was my alpha point. Yeah.
I got up.
Yes, I really did. I remember getting up and taking a shower and washing away the judgery of can't, the judgery of no, the judgery of depression, judgery of rejection. I really remember that day just showering and saying, hey, if I'm going to die, I don't want to die here. I want to move. I want to get up and go do something.
That is amazing to hear. That's amazing. I'm glad that we actually talked and that you were able to make that move and to get started. What was the journey of starting over like for you, Rosemary?
It began in my head. It began with a mindset. It began where, do I believe in me? Am I worth living? Am I worth living for my children? Better yet, am I worth living for me? Did I see any worth in me? And even though I was a pastor and I have been to many ladies' retreats and churches and preach and talk about the love of Christ, but there was a problem there about divorce. And the church organization that I am affiliated with, they did not embrace divorce. And I felt like another rejection was coming. And does that mean that God doesn't love me anymore? Yes, I went through that. And hell became a reality. Is God going to burn me? Have I come this far to hear that a loving God so loved the world that he gave his son for me and he's going to put me in hell and burn me? Fear, anxiety, bad anxiety. And there were triggers, yes. Anxiety to the point where I started to seek mental health. To say it's out of my control. Yes, there's behavioral health that I could, but I needed more than that. I needed more than just the changing my behavior. Like I said, I needed a mindset change. I needed a physical change. And I also needed a little support, chemical support. So I spoke with the doctor and I said, listen, I have moments when I'm so down, I cannot pull myself up. And I wasn't clinical depressed yet, but I was heading there. And I asked for something that would help me to sleep, something that would help me to balance my mood. So I'm not high and low, because one moment I would feel good. Another moment I would feel like I was worthless. And I faced up to it. I had to. I mean, and you really can't talk to friends. You sometimes burden them with your issues, because for employment, how am I going to handle my employment? I went back to school. I went and I learned to be a CNA. I was afraid to take the exam because I was afraid to fail, even though I knew it well enough. I took it over and over, but I was afraid to fail because, again, I felt like I wasn't worth it. Mm-hmm. And then I went to an employment agency to be employed. They required quite a bit of money to get employed by them. As a matter of fact, when I added it up, it was $750. How am I going to find $750 when my child support was $395, and that's what I'm living on to pay my mortgage, to pay my light, buy food and gas. it becomes a problem. But you know what? It's not the big money of $750, but was taking what I could manage. And the first one was to get a physical, $55. Couldn't afford that. Called a friend of mine who was a doctor, and they says, "No, Rosie, I'll do it for free." So I got that for free. But I asked, and she said yes, and she did that. Then I needed to get my fingerprints, and it turned out it was like $10. And that I could afford. So I went and I did that. So there were little things that I took them a little at a time. And before the time was up, I was able to get employed. And the employment gave me additional income because no one working. So I empowered myself to be employed.
Oh my gosh, Rosemary, I wish the audience could see my face and my smile. I mean, I know you, so you know I'm always proud of you. But as I'm listening to this process of you saying I had to take that $750 and break it down into $50 here and to go and ask, I didn't ask for the $750, I asked for $50. And then I broke it down into the $10. And I was able to do the $10 and all those little things. You know, in Jamaica, they said the one cocoa fill basket, right? Like every drip fills a pan, right? Just the fact that you were able to take that big situation that felt so overwhelming and to break it down into little steps, because every step matters. That's what people don't get.
Yes.
There are no little steps when you're on a journey. Every step adds up to the goal. Mm-hmm. So I'm just smiling and just loving to hear you share that process so that another woman listening will understand that in moments when it feels so overwhelming, just take a one tiny step. Just one tiny step.
I remember there were days we had $20 because that's what I got to cut a lawn. And I used $15 to go grocery shopping. And I told my kids, save $5. We have to have $5 in the house, because if you have $5, you're never broke.
Yes,
$15 in the groceries and $5 was for saving. So the next time when the $20 come, we can spend that $5. Or spend 20, but we still have our $5.
All right. So you, even in that moment, you were teaching your children fiscal responsibility. So taking that moment that is attempting to try to overwhelm you and to say, I'm going to make something of this, even for my children's sakes. So, you know, I have to ask my questions right now, right? So as you are looking back at that, and you've already said for me that I've heard, but I kind of want to go back in and have you say it. Looking back at that moment, what are some ways that you went through that showed you that you are much stronger than you thought?
Okay. That's, I didn't run away. Suicide was not an option. Giving up was not an option. Survival was the key. I'm going to make it. And determination, perseverance, that's where I, as long as I'm alive, I was thinking, there got to be something more to all of this. No one is going to, how do you put it, steal my joy. No one has the power to tell me that I'm not worth it. No one has the power to tell me that I'm less than. And you get rid of those negative people and those negative thoughts. Look at yourself and envision what you'd like to be. Where am I right now? Would you like to know?
No, not yet. That's not amazing. Yet. You know, I like to just, when there's a key point in there, I like to just go back in and just hammer it in so that the people listening can hear this. No one has the right to make you feel less than. No one has the right to devalue you. Once you understand that and walk in that truth unfailingly, you'll show up knowing that you are deserving of good things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. And when you feel like, you know, you see something that you like to accomplish and you don't have those tools, the Bible says that we're to seek and you'll find. Knock and those doors will be open. ask and it'll be given to you. It's amazing. It also says that something that might be someone else's garbage, you can utilize it to be your treasure, because someone might be discarding something that they don't want, but you are at that point where you can bless it, revitalize it, and use it to empower you to go someplace else.
Amazing.
I love the poet say, you can step up and maintain. Step up and maintain. Don't stay down there. Step up. Maintain where you're at. Step up again and keep stepping up and maintain. I really believe that. There's always another level.
Mm-hmm. Now I want to ask you, Rosemary, what are some things that you discovered about yourself as you look back again in the process? Because we're looking for all aspects that have shown up. What are some things that you, if you were to think back on yourself, that you felt like you would have changed in the process if you could?
Okay, before I answer that one, stick a pin there, remember it, and I'll tell you one thing. One of the things that I learned is that because I was going through a difficult time and I had anxiety, doesn't mean that the people around me are perfect. Everybody, they've got their own issues. They might not be sharing it with me, but they got theirs. So I'm not to compare myself with the next person to say, oh, they look like things are okay with them. I shouldn't compare, because they are dealing with their stuff. So when I met you and I was going through what I was going through, and you look so perfect, I'm going to use you as an example. I would have been afraid of you, because you're a psychologist, a behavior analyst, and here I am falling apart. You know, the word there, you might feel vulnerable, but don't be afraid. Vulnerability is okay sometimes, because it means that you're human. And if you do find yourself that you cry, just wipe your tears and say, hey, this kind of made my cheek looks good. What am I trying to say is, don't try to be somebody else. Just be yourself. Does that make sense? Am I making sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things that I always tell people is this: you can see the public face. Mm-hmm. You don't know the private pain.
Right.
So don't assume that public mm-hmm. face is not hiding something private. So I love the fact that when you and I met, you know, despite the fact that you saw that public face, you were still able to stand and communicate with me. And, you know, we connected. We've been doing this for years, back and forth, you and I. The friendship bond stretches, it comes back, it stretches, mm-hmm. it comes back. But, you know, one of the things that I know that you and I have been is real with each other. So that has been a good thing for us.
Mm-hmm. And I'm honest with myself about the way that I feel. And the things that I can change, I try my best. The things that I cannot change, I look for help. But I try not to compare with somebody else, because it's not going to work. I have to walk in my shoes. I have to wake up and face myself. And even look at my hair. I was told that I have short hair, so I curled it. I had a jerry curl for years. And then all of a sudden I decided to lock it. And I remember after COVID, and I went to an event, and this guy dressed elegantly. Oh, he was fabulous, with a nice headband, African tied up. And he looked at me and he said, "My queen." And I looked around. Oh, he's talking about me.
That's awesome. As you're actually walking into who you are, really, yes. What that will do is attract people, because when you learn to appreciate yes. yourself, you'll send off the yes. energy that will attract people who
exactly.
will appreciate you.
Yes.
But now I have to go into another question. So I want to, you know, I'm all mm-hmm. about self-care. So one yes. of the things I'm going to ask you is, mm-hmm. how Were you practicing self-care during that time? And if not, how are you practicing self-care now?
Well, the self-care that I did while I was going through that episode is that I found out that sugar was no good for me at the time, even though I needed that extra boost of energy. The sugar gave me headaches. It caused me to gain weight. And then when the sugar wore off, it gave me a low. So I had to change my diet. I had to eat more salads. And I found out that the salads with nuts helped me. It made noise in my ears and it calmed me down. And I stayed away from processed food. So okay. That was my first self-care. The second one was I created hobbies. I started showing interest in other things, not just cooking, but I started gardening. And I went to fairs and I went to the supermarket and I got the heads of pineapples. And I planted pineapples the perimeter of my house. They're low maintenance plants and they take about 2 years to bear. But I planted, when I last count, I had 340 pineapples around my house. Why so many? It became obsessive because those were the only plants that I would plant that were not seasonal. So they were not going to die and they did not require me to be out there to talk to them. And they bore fruits. Also, the pineapple represented to me my crown, which is the head. The outside was a bit tough, but inside was so sweet to taste. And because of that, I nurtured those pineapples. And I have one of the biggest pineapple farms in the neighborhood. So
I'm going to go get some pineapples from her, right? So you make sure you're talking to those pineapples and they're growing good. Because I like a good pineapple. If I had to ask you now, mm-hmm. Pastor Rosemary.
Yes, ma'am.
What words of encouragement would you offer to a woman currently walking through the path that you have been through?
Words of encouragement. You are valuable. You are precious. You're worth more than death. You're worth life. You're wonderful. Believe in yourself. Find one buddy. Find someone who you can trust. Somebody that you can lean on. Not necessarily to unload all your issues, but find a buddy that you can be accountable to. That they will know where you're at. And you have to create some kind of trust in a friend, a sister, or even in yourself, you know. But don't try to do this alone. Try and have someone that you can make contact with.
As a woman of faith, Pastor Rosemary, I'm mm-hmm. sure that you were doing prayer after prayer after prayer, right? So that didn't stop the prayer. However, you mentioned earlier, there came a point when you realized that you needed to go and get some help, including medication. Let's talk about that a little bit and how that may help another woman to come away from the stigma and the fear and I'm praying on it and that should be enough. And understanding that sometimes you might need to go a little bit further outside of that to get the help you need.
All right. In the Bible, the disciples said, Jesus, John the Baptist have prayers for his disciples. Why don't you teach us how to pray? And he taught them to pray. So they needed help. The woman with the issue of blood, which many of us know the story, went to many doctors for 12 years and she was not cured of her illness. And she had to push herself through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. So it comes that those are just two examples. The woman whose son died, she put him in the bed and she went to find the prophet Elijah to come and assist her because she needed help. Because she had a deceased son. Meaning, we of ourselves at times cannot cure ourselves. We cannot be our physician. All right? We are here to help each other. You cannot diagnose what your issues are. So if you can take care of your body to say that you're hungry and you go to the store and purchase food, cook the food and feed your body. And when you're sick physically, you go to a doctor to get medical attention. When your mind is off balance, you need to find someone who is a spiritual, is a mental provider to assist you. So mentally, spiritually, physically, you are responsible for the care of your body. And if your mind needs help, you have to get help. You're responsible. That's why if somebody hurts your body, the police is going to charge them for attempted murder, manslaughter, or murder. So if you do not take care of yourself, you're going to be held accountable.
All right. Well, that's deep. So you hear that accountability? I know that you may not be able to do it on your own, but that first step of accountability lies with your comfortably or uncomfortably reaching out to get the help that you need. So you hear what Rosemary said, you are more precious than death. You are worthy of life. Ah, that one dropped into my spirit. Thank you, Pastor Rose. So as we are wrapping up today, I just want to thank Pastor Rosemary for sharing her story and dropping so many pearls of wisdom. I'm going to be going back and listening to it myself because, you know, I'm interviewing. I can't hear it all, but she dropped a whole bunch of pearls. So I got to go gather them up and put them in a box. All right. So Pastor Rosemary, now that we've actually gotten to this point in your life, share with the audience what you are doing right now. Let's just share a couple of the activities and projects that you're involved in, because this woman of power, she's got about 100 things she's doing. I just want you to tell us like two or three.
Well, right now, to transition from being a CNA to being a hospice nurse, I find myself pushing towards law school. And the reason that I'm heading towards law school is because I found myself before Jesus and saying, Jesus, I need help. And he turned to me and he said, do you realize that you're joint heir with me from my father? In the presence of God, you and I are brothers and sisters, and whatever that has been allocated as an inheritance for me, you have the right to it. And I said, but wait, that makes me very, very rich. So he says, yes. And he says that what happened is that we go before God, beating upon ourselves to say, God, I am so bad. I am wicked. I'm this, I'm that. And you beat upon yourself. Life is already beaten upon me. And he says, no. You're to come before me and request of me what it is that you need. And I will go to the Father and disperse your blessing. So I decided I want to go to, I want to study law. So right now I am on my way. I did my legal studies to be a paralegal, and I'm doing my internship right now in a lawyer's office. Isn't that awesome?
It is awesome. And I'm glad you started the cheering for yourself, right?
Yes. No, I can't. Not only am I going to be underemployed, I'm going to be overemployed in a little
bit. Well, amen. I'm going to join you in that. And what about Alpha Point? What are some of the things that you're doing with that right now?
Well, Alpha Point right now, we're still doing our outreach. We're doing the Mother's Arms, which provide diapers and lotions and pharmaceuticals to moms and the elderly. And we offer funerals. I do lots of free funerals for murdered victims and suicide victims. And we do the free weddings. So we're quite busy, yes. And I'm always available to help anyone who's in need.
Continuing to serve the community. Awesome. Awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
And so, Rosemary, you just told people about all these amazing services that you give, but they need to know how to get in touch with you. So how do they get in touch with you if they need to?
Oh, quite easily. My phone number is 352-321-0932. 352-321-0932. My email is rgrb60@hotmail.com.
Awesome. And we're also going to be featuring Rosemary on our Woman Crush Wednesday on our Instagram at Design Your Max Life, and also at Her Story, Her Journey. pretty much, Pastor Rosemary, thank you for sharing your story of how you had to pull on that extra that's inside of you when you went through a divorce. And then here you are, a pastor taking care of everybody else, and this thing shows up at your door. So, you know, I just love featuring the extra that shows up when we women are challenged in our ordinary lives. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Her Story, Her Journey podcast. I'm Dr. Max, and if you want to share your story or you know a woman who would like to, please send me a DM on Instagram at Her Story, Her Journey. That's Her Story, Her Journey. And remember 2 Corinthians verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am strong.